and you're tuned into CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We are joined in studio by Samir Zuberi, who is a community activist and member of the Canadian Muslim Forum, who recently participated in a delegation of people from across Canada traveling to New York City to visit the United Nations in solidarity with Abu Sufyan Abdulrazik, the Sudanese-Canadian from Montreal who was exiled and tortured in Sudan with the complicity of the Canadian Security and Intelligence Service, CSIS. He's returned to Canada last year, and his struggle for justice continues, specifically his demand and campaign to be removed from the UN Security Council 1267 quote-unquote terror watch list. It's a struggle that he continues despite having been cleared from all charges. So Samir is joining us in studio to talk about this recent trip of Montrealers and people from across Canada to New York City. Good day, Samir.
Hi, Stefan.
Thanks so much for being with us.
It's good to be with you.
So let's just get a picture of what happened. It's a very interesting trip that was organized basically at the Solidarity Delegation. Yourself and others from across Canada traveled to the United States across the border, driving to the UN in New York City in solidarity with Abu Sufyan Abdulrazik. Can you maybe explain some of the key points that you wanted to highlight at the United Nations?
Well, we were really going there for two main purposes. One was to get rid of the 1267 list, which in our view should be abolished. And two would be to have Mr. Abu Sufyan Abdulrazik delisted from the list itself. These were our two main points that we were trying to articulate. But we also mentioned several other reasons that we find the list as problematic.
Can you maybe just explain for people briefly who is Abu Sufyan Abdulrazik and the significance of this 1267 list? It's just being cited as a number, but as I understand, it's having a big impact on his life.
Certainly this no-fly list, this UN 1267 list is very pervasive. It's almost, you know, shackling Abu Sufyan in so many different ways. First off, due to the UN no-fly list, he can't actually fly. But also, in addition to that, he actually can't have any assets. Not only not have any assets, but he can't actually receive even a donation. So he can't work. He can't receive donations. He cannot move around outside of Canada. His mobility rights are extremely restricted. And his ability to survive is next to nothing. So you can imagine the psychological impact it's having on him. It's having a very negative impact. He is suffering. This is not only happening in Canada, but he also went through a very long ordeal outside of Canada. So today, you know, he really wants to get this list, he wants to be removed from this list because of how problematic it is for him.
Just for people to remember and recount, who is Abu Sufyan Abdulrazik?
Mr. Abdulrazik is a Sudanese-Canadian who visited his mother in 2003 in Sudan. While there, he was interrogated on numerous occasions, held for 2 years by Sudanese intelligence. During that period, he was tortured and questioned. The FBI passed questions on to his interrogators in Sudan, as did Canadian intelligence, CSIS. And at the end of the day, Sudanese intelligence determined that there was nothing against Mr. Abdulrazik, that he was completely cleared of any wrongdoing. In addition, though, Canadian intelligence said exactly the same thing, that there is nothing against Abdulrazik, that he's not a security threat, that he is a free man. And so the issue is that Canada and Sudan views him as a free man, as somebody who should have his rights fully granted to him, whereas at the same time he's put on this UN 1267 list that limits his mobility, that limits his access to employment, that really constricts and restrains him in a very severe way.
Well, today, Abdulrazik is in Montreal living here. He remains on the 1267 list. There's a struggle to remove him from this list administered by the UN Security Council, operating in secret behind closed doors, this list. But just to skip back slightly, I understand there was quite a big struggle to have Abdulrazak return to Canada to pressure the conservative government through the legal system to have him return. Can you just maybe give us a brief highlight of what happened? People might remember from the news.
That's very true. There was a major struggle to have Mr. Abdulrazak return back to Canada. Mm-hmm. When he wanted to return after he was freed from a Sudanese prison, he tried to come back to Canada. But due to being listed on the 1267 list, he couldn't fly back home. Mm-hmm. So what happened was that he was actually marooned in the Canadian Embassy in Sudan for a year. In Khartoum, exactly, mm-hmm. where he bunked and stayed. And he basically just slept on a couch throughout the whole period of a year. And that obviously in and of itself is very restricting, not considering that he was previously tortured, that held with no just reason for 2 years. But in a nutshell, he was in the Canadian Embassy for 1 year, trying to come back to Canada. At the end of the day, the Federal Court of Canada forced the government's hand, the Conservative government, to have Mr. Abdulrazak returned back to Canada, at which point he took a flight and got a passport issued. Up until the hand of the government was forced by the courts, the federal government did nothing to support Mr. Abdulrazak. And in fact, they actually frustrated his efforts to come back to Canada.
Well, he was stranded in Khartoum in Sudan.
Yes.
And across Canada, there was quite a grassroots campaign, people supporting his rights, his citizenship rights.
A lot of the congratulations and really thanks for Mr. Abdulrazak has to go to the Project Fly Home Committee, Mr. Abdulrazak Support Committee.
Here in Montreal.
Exactly. And they have really rallied around him, worked day and night to support mm-hmm. Mr. Abdulrazak. And this is a lot of the reason why the case has picked up. Mm-hmm. There have been, of course, supporters here and there that have played critical roles. Labor unions in Canada, MPs from the NDP have supported him very vocally, which is very important. Mm-hmm. But all have a role to play. And the Mr. Abdulrazak Support Committee has played a critical role mm-hmm. in advocating for Mr. Abdulrazak and supporting him and standing strong by him.
And so today the struggle continues. Abdulrazak has returned to Canada. He remains on the UN Security Council list, 1267. Let's just clarify, this is not a list of the United Nations, but of the very limited Security Council, which obviously is heavily influenced by the United States and European Union. But just to maybe get a sense, you traveled down to New York. Can you maybe describe who you went with in this car to meet with the United Nations to try to encourage them to remove Abdulrazak from this list so his life can go on after having returned to Canada? Describe when you got to the United Nations also.
Well, the delegation included seven individuals from various different mm-hmm. backgrounds, including professors, labor unions, grassroots organizers, community organizers. So there were many different individuals who went there, each bringing a different perspective forth as to why Mr. Abdulrazak should be delisted and why the 1267 list should be abolished. We met with a delegation from Germany. They're actually members of the Security Council and the chair of the 1267 list, so they have a pivotal voice when it comes to administering the list, et cetera.
This is in New York City at the United Nations?
In New York City, okay. United Nations.
And they agreed to meet you?
Yes, they did. And the German delegation was quite welcoming. They, in part, agree with our critique. In fact, Germany co-authored a letter with 10 other states calling for reform of the 1267 list, basically trying to put the list in a better direction from where it is right now. Mm-hmm. In our view, they didn't go far enough mm-hmm. because there are still fundamental problems with the list, and that's why we are calling for the abolition. But it's nice to know that at least the people we're meeting with, in part, agreed with our position. And we wanted them to go further.
Maybe just so people understand, because we keep repeating this number, the 1267 list of the UN Security Council, what does this equal for people's lives like Abdulrazak?
It's basically an open-air prison in many senses. You can walk free, but you can't do much else. You can walk down the streets, but you can't earn any money. You cannot move around. Your name has been tarnished and your reputation has been sullied. Even if and when Mr. Abdulrazak is fully exonerated, fully cleared, there is still the issue of his name being tarnished. And that's why he is actually advancing a $27 million case against the government.
The Conservative government of Canada.
Yes.
I guess we could look at this list, the 1267 list, as a post 9/11 relic in the sense of in Canada we had a whole wave of legislation come forward after September 11th, Bill C-36, C-37, C-42, the so-called anti-terror legislation. Just in terms of understanding the context for this list, was it part of that kind of fury of draconian legislation we saw after 9/11?
As far as I understand, the list actually existed before 9/11, mm-hmm. but similar to other legislation on the books internationally or domestically, this existing piece of legislation was ramped up, revved up, and used in a way that it was not initially intended, used in a way to combat the so-called war on terror. So in doing so, in the mass fright that was taking hold in society, and amongst politicians after 2001, there was an overzealous security practice. Mm-hmm. So there's an extremely wide net that was cast, and many innocent individuals got ensnared into this net. And Mr. Abdulrazak, I personally believe, is one of those individuals. Time will tell, but like I mentioned, the Sudanese government, Canadian intelligence have cleared him of any wrongdoing. So it's really almost a black and white issue, this one.
Well, we can remember other cases like Maher Arar.
Certainly. There have been several other cases, Maher Arar being the foremost that comes to people's minds. He was tortured overseas and exonerated at the end by a commission of inquiry from the federal government. But there are other men who were also went through a similar ordeal. Three men, Abdullah Maliki, Ahmed Almaty, and Mouyad Nuruddin. All four of these men were tortured overseas, questioned as a result of Canadian intelligence and mislabeled.
And eventually returned to Canada and were exonerated also.
Exactly.
How did it feel to be in New York City lobbying for Abdulrazak, or actually taking part in a political action to travel there? How was it at the United Nations?
Oh, this was a great experience to go there, to travel there. The bonds that you make with your fellow travelers are unlike other bonds. And most importantly, though, I think we were advocating for a very important issue, an issue of justice, an issue that required a strong advocates. And that's why we were there. And there was a level of obviously personal risk in all the delegates going, given the sensitivities around the issue. But at the end of the day, the issue of justice, I think, swayed all the delegates to go forth and advocate strongly for Mr. Abdulrazak's rights.
Samir Zuberi of the Canadian Muslim Forum joining us in studio here at CKUT Radio, who recently traveled to New York City on a delegation organized by Project Fly Home, the support committee here in Montreal for Abu Sufyan Abdulrazak, the Sudanese-Canadian exiled and tortured in Sudan and eventually returned to Canada after a long campaign, who continues to struggle for justice and removal from the 1267 Security Council list. It's been a great pleasure to speak with you today, Samir, and thank you so much for joining CKUT Radio.
Thank you.